with the chair. Good morning. Great to see everyone here this morning. A warm welcome. A special welcome to anyone visiting our church today. And in that category, we have Peggy's sister Jane. There you are, Jane. Warm welcome to you, and it's Jane's birthday today. Hey, how about that? Welcome, and a warm welcome to anyone else visiting our church today, and indeed to each and every one. We know how good it is to be here, and we know that we will be blessed by being here. It is with sadness, and I guess it's also with rejoicing in a church family, to announce the fact that Bud Van Arnhem passed away on Monday of the week past. Bud, long-time member of this church family. And Bud will be, he's loved and greatly missed by us in our church here. And to Bud's family, our love and our prayers are with you all. It is Bud's memorial service tomorrow afternoon, 2 o'clock here in our church. And I'm sure that those of you who are able to will be in attendance. This is not Laurie Sheehan. This is Howard, and he's acting elder for the day. Thanks, Howard.
I'm glad Ian could tell the difference. excuse me, for the announcements. Starting with the elders' meeting next Saturday, but since I'm the only elder here, I guess that won't help much. Mustard seed, Wednesday, August the 19th. Then for the next two Sundays, we have our visiting speakers, Reg Graves, on next Sunday on the 23rd. No, sorry, it's the following, the 23rd, and then Don McNaughton on the 30th. And then finally, Ian mentioned the Radiant Life Community Church last week on Vancouver Island and the opportunity to support them with donations. Ian just mentioned that we're sort of running out of time for that, or at least for this current effort. So if people are interested in supporting that within the next week or so, would be best.
That was about it.
Yeah, they could do that through the church envelope.
Yes, if you wish to do a donation through your envelope, or catch Ian afterwards if you miss the envelope. Any other excuse me? Any other announcements, Susan? Thanks, Susan. I'll turn it back to Ian.
So anyone who would like to help out with the Sunday school, it's not a huge commitment, once every 6-8 weeks, a little bit of help, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of people here to give you that little bit of help, so hopefully. No further announcements? Lord, in the beauty of holiness, we come now before his presence in silence. Our call to worship this morning is found in the psalm which is set for the readings for today, and it is it's a verse which I think a lot of us could learn from, and it is Psalm 130 verse 5. I wait for the Lord. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. What a great verse that is. Let us worship with our approach choruses. Kathy, come on, lead us in our approach songs.
His name is wonderful. So please stand and we'll all sing. His name is wonderful. We'll sing it twice.
His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful.
I'll stop there, because our next chorus this morning has four verses. Beautiful, make me a channel of your peace. Let's sing that one now. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. Where there is injury, your pardon, Lord. And where there's doubt, to faith in you. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there's despair in life, let me bring where there is darkness, only light. And where there's sadness, ever joy. Oh, Master, grant that I may never seek so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all. Beautiful little one. Then we're going to prepare our hearts for worship with Jesus, Draw Me Close.
Thank you, Kathy, for leading us in our approach choruses, and to Marion for your accompaniment there this morning, and to Peggy, thank you so much. And I think most of you will have recognised that second one that we sang there, Make Me a Channel of Your Peace, is the old prayer of St. Francis, the prayer of St. Francis. Let us bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious, our loving Father, we thank you, Lord, for giving us this privilege, for giving us this joy of being able to come together as a church family on this day, on this special day, on your day. And as you have called us each and every one to come to this place today, gracious Father, we know that you have called us all for a purpose. But inside of each and every one of us, Lord, we have come because we feel a need. We feel a need to come to you, Lord, who have created us, who have created this whole world in which we live. And we come to you, Lord, to worship you. And so in this time of worship, gracious Father, in the hymns that we sing, in our prayers, in every aspect of this worship service, we pray that you will hear and accept the praise we bring. And we pray, gracious Father, that you will also open our hearts and open our minds so that each of us, Father, each of us individually may hear the message that you have for every single one of us. Gracious Father, we worship you. We worship you in the name of Jesus. And we pray now in the words that Jesus taught us when he told us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Our responsive reading is from Psalm 130 this morning. So I'll do the L, you do the C. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins.
Kathy is going to be presenting our special music this morning, and I'm going to let Kathy do her own introduction to this because I have a feeling that she might just have a little couple of things to say. Thank you, Kathy.
Well, the first thing I have to say is I'm astonished at how this fits in with the scriptures today. You'll see. God does that all the time. It's amazing. So I think because of that, there might be other reasons why we're singing it as well. This song comes by special request today. We don't normally hear this one in church because it's a show tune from the musical Carousel, and I'm sure many of you will be familiar with it. But its theme is faith and hope. And since God is the author of faith and hope, I'm sure he had something to do with the inspiration of this song. If you are in the midst of difficulties or you have special challenges ahead of you, perhaps God will use this song to give you encouragement today. And since it's fairly short, we're going to go through it three times. And on the third time through, I'll give you the old hand signal here. And just from your seats, I'd like everybody to join in and sing along too. It's You'll Never Walk Alone.
Storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the storm is a golden sky and the sweet silver song of the lark. Walk on through. Walk on through.
up my eyes unto the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. He shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore.
When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the storm is a golden sky and the sweet silver song of the lark. Walk on through the wind, walk on.
That was beautiful, Kathy. Thank you, and thank you to you, Peter. Excellent. And I heard you all hitting those high notes. You did a splendid job. Beautiful. Thank you very much. Your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you.
Thank you.
Father, we are ever thankful for your goodness to us. And so we come to you now and we bring these our gifts, which are but humble tokens of our gratitude. We ask you, Father, to accept these gifts and to accept the givers, for we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. For Jesus' sake, amen. The children would like to come and join me, please. I've got a tough question for you this morning, and I don't know whether you'll be able to answer it or not. Does anybody know what a role model is? A role model. That's a tough question. Any ideas? Well, it's a model of some kind, but not the kind of model. It's not like a model tractor or anything. A role model is a person who we admire and a person that we look up to. And we think, I like that person. And sometimes we copy how they walk and how they talk and the things that they do. Okay? Now then, in life, there are some good role models and there's some bad ones. Now then, I am going to show you some pictures on the screen of people. And you've got to tell me whether you think that this would be a good role model or a bad role model. And everybody joins in here. If you think this person would be a bad role model, we go, boo. And if we think this person would be a good role model, we cheer. So are you ready?
Yeah.
So let's have a look at our first possible role model. Let's have a look. Boo. That wouldn't be a good role model, would it? A devil, whoa. So let's try the next one. Yay! Ho, 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 that's good. Let's try one more. Boo! Whoa, that's a bratty child, isn't it? Let's see what we get next. Yay! That's good. Thank you, you did very well there. You all did very well, very, very well. And so role models. So we've got to be careful how we choose our role models. Now then, who can you think of that you know that you think would be a good role model? Can you think of anyone? God, you're ahead of me. Anyone that you know who lives here on earth? Well, so does God, doesn't he? A person, you know, that you can go up and you can touch and say, oh, that's a good role model. Can you think of anyone? Kind of hard, isn't it? Kind of hard. Who do you live with? Oh, yeah, you live with your mum. Would your mum kind of count as a role model, do you think? And your dad? These tend to be our first role models. These are the people who we look up to. We love them and we know that they love us. And we learn from them. We learn from them because they are our parents. Now then, Caleb was way ahead of me. So then, where do you think would be a good place to look for role models? Oh, excellent. That would be a great place to look for role models. You know, and in our scripture reading today, later on, St. Paul says that we should be imitators of God. We should copy God. How can we copy God? Yeah, and who do you think we should look at to see what God is like? Who was God who came down to earth?
Jesus.
Right, Jesus. Getting the clues here. Excellent. So when Paul says we've got to be imitators of God, God came down to earth as Jesus, and Jesus is the radiance of God. So all you got to do is we read in the Bible about Jesus, and we try to live our lives like Jesus, because Jesus is the very best role model that anyone can have. Okay, so let's just put our hands together and say a little prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us so much that you came down to earth as Jesus. And we know, Lord, as Jesus, you gave us the wonderful example for living. Help us, Father, to be like Jesus every day in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Do we have a?
I'm good today.
Thank you, Kathy.
Very good today.
That little one that Kathy sang with the children there fits in nicely with our call to worship this morning. If I remind you, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. And in waiting on the Lord, we've rediscovered the peace of the Lord. We stand and sing to God's glory. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. We sing to his glory. That's one of our great old hymns of faith. And I think if I were asked to ask for a show of hands as to who likes to sing that hymn, I think all of our hands would be up in the air. It's a wonderful old hymn. We come to our time of prayer, and I continually emphasise the power of prayer. And of course, in this last week, a week today, we had that huge storm went through. Carstairs was hammered, absolutely hammered. It wasn't the only place, of course. Many places were, but I don't think there's a home in Carstairs which doesn't have damage of some kind on it. And I'm sure when we say our silent prayers for the people who are in need, that we could bear in mind that many people in Carstairs, in Sundry, in Cremona, our farmers whose crops have been flattened and totally ruined, that there are so many people who are feeling anguish at this time. And the power of the Lord can be upon them and bring peace to their minds. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Let us pray. We thank you, gracious Father, for bringing us once again safely here to this sacred place and to this time of worship and praise. And we thank you, Lord, for the security that your house affords us, a safe refuge where we feel good, where we know that we are loved and where we know that we are cared for. We thank you, Father, for your presence with us in the week past. Wherever we went, whatever we did, whatever we said, whatever we even thought, and all of those things that we experienced in this past week, you, gracious and holy Father, were right there with us and there for us. Forgive us, Lord, when we, for most of the time, are so preoccupied with ourselves and our own well-being that we ignore your presence in our lives. Thank you, Father, for those amazing, revealing moments when your Holy Spirit breaks through our barriers of selfishness. And for a few moments, we are dazzled by your grace and by your holiness. Help us, Father, to have a greater awareness of your being as we go about our daily living. Touch our senses with your living presence and lift the quality of our witness and our service, that we may be worthy disciples. We thank you, Father, for our church family here in Cremona. We thank you, Lord, on the larger scale for our Four Seas church family. And we pray, Lord, for your church universal, your church throughout the world, for all Christian denominations who lift high the name and the deity of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And we ask you, Father, to watch over your church. Defend her from all evil, especially from that evil which would disguise itself as good. Equip us, Lord, with the whole armour of God, that we might stand up for Jesus as soldiers of the cross and shine like light in a world of darkness. And help us, Father, to boldly proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. Father, bless every home represented here. May your love and peace abide in the hearts and minds of us all. And we pray, gracious Father, for our families and for our friends, and especially for those from whom we are parted. We can see them, Lord, in our mind's eye, and we can see them, Lord, surrounded by your loving arms. In our hearts, Lord, we have a special place for special people who need your special care. And so we pray now in silence for those whom you have placed there, Father, and we pray, gracious Lord, in your mercy, that you will hear now our silent prayers. Father, at this time we pray for all of those people who suffered through the huge storm that went through our area. We know that many homes are devastated, that many people are suffering. We know that in our farms many crops are destroyed and devastated. And we know, gracious Father, that the livelihood of many people is at risk. And we know, gracious Father, that your love extends to everyone affected. And we pray, gracious Father, that in the hearts and minds of those people who are hit by this big storm, we pray, gracious Father, that they may know in their hearts of your wonderful peace, which passeth all understanding. And we pray, gracious Father, that they may wait on the Lord, and that they may find that in the Lord they will find hope. Father, as we pray for peace in the lives of people, we pray also for peace in our world. Bless all those people, Lord, who are involved in peace processes wherever they may be. And we pray, Lord, that you will grant peaceful hearts to every single person who bows down and worships you. As we go from this place, Lord, may we remain in your presence. Grant us the joy of your Spirit and inspire us to bring fresh hope and peace to all whom we meet. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Saviour. Amen. We listen now to the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Our gospel reading is from John chapter 6, reading verse 35 and then going to verse 41 through 51. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." At this, the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus said. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They will all be taught by God. Everyone listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But there is a bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world." And the epistle reading is from Ephesians chapter 4, reading verse 25 through to 5, verse 2. Therefore, this is Paul speaking. "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God.
Thanks to Corrine from those readings from the scriptures. Thank you very much. This next hymn that we're going to sing is often regarded as a children's hymn. And it is a hymn which many people say remains with them from childhood right through adulthood. And many people say that this is the hymn that comes to their minds in times of stress and trouble. And it's that wonderful little hymn, Jesus Loves Me. And when we get to that chorus bit and we say, yes, Jesus loves me, it's yes, Jesus loves me. We stand and sing to God's glory. Couldn't help but noticing as we sang that hymn how many people had a smile on their face as they sang it. But doesn't that do that for you? The knowledge that yes, Jesus loves me. Great, great hymn. Beautiful old hymn. Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. If you were wondering from reading your bulletin what the title of the message is today, there you see it. What are you? What are you? I was too late in arriving at a title for the message to meet the bulletin deadline, so I missed it. So if you want to do it, you can write it in there. So, what are you? If I were to ask you that question right now and to think about it for a brief moment, how would you answer? And I think everybody here would probably come up with a different answer, depending on how you interpret the question. So if somebody says to you, what are you? It depends how you're thinking of yourself at that particular time. You might answer, for example, by saying, well, I am a wife, or I am a husband. I am a mother, or I am a father. You might say, I'm someone's son, or I'm someone's daughter, or brother, or sister. So in other words, you might answer that question by defining yourself in terms of your family relationships or any other relationships which are important to you. Or I could ask you that question and you could answer, what are you, by saying, I'm British, or I'm Canadian, or I'm Dutch, or I'm Danish, or I am, frightened in case I miss anybody out here. But you know what I'm saying? Or you might say, I am a woman, or I am a man. And so in these instances, you may describe yourself in terms of your race, your sex, your nationality, if at that particular time that's what's on your mind. What are you? You might say, I'm a butcher, I'm a baker, I'm a candlestick maker, I'm a housewife, I am a computer technician, I'm a teacher, I'm a nurse, I'm a farmer, I'm retired. And lots of people answer this way because we live in a secular world, in a secular society that measures our worth in terms of our economic usefulness or our profitability. So in other words, you might define yourself by answering that question in terms of your work, the work that you do or the work that you used to do. There are some occasions in our lives when we might answer that question by saying, I am a conservative, or I am a liberal. Forgive me. Or a social democrat. Because there are times when something like this might be important. And finally, you might describe yourself in spiritual terms. You might say, I am a Christian. I am a Christian. But by voicing that one simple phrase, I am a Christian, you have said a great deal. What are you? I am a Christian. So what does that mean? What does that mean? Mrs. Adams was preparing an early supper for her 12-year-old so he could get out to his soccer practice on time. Everything was ready when she discovered she was almost out of ketchup, that key and essential ingredient to a child's supper. Child's supper? Now, when this occurs, how do you get that last bit of ketchup out of the bottom of the bottle? How do you do that? Right. You tip the bottle up and you thump it. You give it a good thump. And so Mrs. Adams was thumping away at the end of the nearly empty ketchup bottle when the phone rang. Will you get that? She called out to her son. And obligingly he picked up the phone and his mother heard him say quite distinctly, she can't come to the phone right now. She's hitting the bottle. I hope that whomever was calling knew Mrs. Adams. Otherwise, you can imagine all kinds of things going through the caller's mind. What are you? What is Mrs. Adams? Well, she's... The theme today from our lectionary epistle reading is about how we live our Christian lives and how we are perceived by others. Paul's letter to the Ephesians. The whole letter of Paul to the Ephesians is in two distinctive parts. And in the first part of the letter to the Ephesians, we find Paul, the greatest of all theologians, giving us a lyrical celebration of just what God has done for us through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. It is a magnificent hymn of praise. St. Paul barely pauses for breath as he spells out the wonder of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for the Ephesians, for the whole world, and indeed the whole universe. He proclaims and celebrates the reconciling power that will bring all things into harmony through Christ our Saviour. And then, pow! Quite suddenly, Paul switches gears and his whole mood changes. After soaring through the skies and the universe, he suddenly landed back on earth and he's right back in your backyard, in your home, in your church, dealing with the nitty-gritty of everyday life. And he says, stop lying. Start telling each other the truth. Cast your mind back to when you were younger. Quite young. And you just finished telling your friends some amazing story, a too good to be true account of your exploits, something that you've been doing. And maybe it's a little bit exaggerated, you know, for a bit of dramatic effect and impact. And they listen to you and they say, no way. You're kidding, right? No, it's the honest truth. I'm not lying. Yeah, right. I swear it's true, every word of it. And those words so easily come out of the mouths of even children. And sadly, we live in a world where it is increasingly difficult to accept someone's word as truth. It now seems to be almost expected that a person is going to tell lies, or they're going to exaggerate the truth, or they're going to stretch the truth in order to achieve whatever they're trying to achieve. We are continually bombarded with television and other media of advertising that presents all kinds of grossly exaggerated facts about products that will magically and miraculously change our lives, cure our ailments, just make everything better. We are swamped with messages, and we know that they are basically untrue, but they're often entertaining. Like the toilet tissue, which is best for the bare bottom. Is that true? Of course it's not. We know it's not. Or those fast foods that are wholesome and nourishing. Probably because of the little bits of green stuff that's in the middle. And we know it's not true. But lying is expected. And sadly, in many cases, it is accepted as normal. And so we come to the point where we don't believe anything anymore. The media leads us to accept the infidelities and the lies of politicians and famous people and excuses their actions by saying, well, they're only human. They're only human. That's like saying that they're just the same as all the rest of us. Liars, cheats, you've got to expect it. Back to my original question. What are you? Would you be happy to be thought of as just like all the rest? People who lie, people who cheat, people who exaggerate the truth. Psalm 101 verse 7 says this. No one who practices deceit will dwell in my house. No one who speaks falsely will stand in my presence. Lying, cheating, exaggerating the truth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 10, we are presented with a list of those who will not enter the kingdom of God. And it included in this list are those people who are persistently and unrepentantly the sexually immoral. The unrepentant people who worship anything other than God. The unrepentant adulterers, the unrepentant who prostitute their bodies, the unrepentant who indulge in homosexual activities, thieves, drunkards, the greedy and the swindlers. And we have this whole list of people who indulge in practices and do not repent of it, they carry on. And right in amongst them are lumped those who are regarded as the deceitful liars. The deceitful liars. So we in our secular world may make light of lying and cheating, but God does not. In Proverbs 12:22, the Lord detests lying lips, but delights in those who are truthful. A little bit earlier in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, just before our scripture reading today, in verse 17, St. Paul says this. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as worldly people do in the futility of their thinking. And then in verse 1 of chapter 5, St. Paul says, be imitators of God and live a life of love just as Christ loved us. Be imitators of God. Have you noticed how children are so very often smaller versions of ourselves, especially when they are younger? You know, they're like a mini me. They copy you. They copy your actions. They copy your phraseology. They similar styles of walking, speaking, throwing the ball, the way they eat their food, and so on. They are imitators, as we all are. So what happens when we imitate something or someone and we keep on doing it over and over again? We become what we do. We become what we imitate. Many of you remember the famous actor Yul Brynner. You all remember him, or many of you do. If you're not too young, you remember Yul Brynner. He played many roles in films and on stage. But the most famous role that he played in his whole life was what? King and I. The King and I. And when he first started playing that role in The King and I, he wore lots of makeup and he altered his mannerisms to fit himself into the part. But as the years went by and he performed the same part hundreds and thousands of times, he stopped wearing the same thickness of makeup and he stopped changing his mannerisms because he became the part that he was playing. Yul Brynner was the king in The King and I. And so if anyone else ever attempts to play that part now, they must try to be Yul Brynner. He became the part that he played. And as we do things in our own lives over and over again, we become what we imitate. St. Paul says, be imitators of God as God's beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us. How do we do that? How do we imitate God? Let me direct you to another verse from Hebrews 1 verse 3, which says this. Jesus is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Be imitators of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in life we keep on imitating Christ. And if we do that, we become more like that which we imitate. The Christian that God has created all of us to be. A woman sued her husband for divorce. She told the judges that she had nagged and nagged, but she could not change him. The judge wondered if she had tried kindness. And he made reference to the biblical passage from Proverbs. Proverbs 25, 21 and 22, which says, if your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Try kindness. So he said to the lady, have you tried showing kindness? Have you tried heaping burning coals on his head? And she says, no, it wouldn't work. She says, I tried pouring scalding water on his head, and that didn't work. So I'm sure that the coals... Okay. So what does it mean in practical terms? In terms of daily living, imitating Christ. Take care of others. The Word of God tells us that we should be concerned about other people and not just ourselves. Don't return evil for evil. Revenge is a festering wound. Revenge and thinking about revenge only hurts the person who is thinking it. And we should try to forgive those who hurt us in any way. Be kind and generous. Even when it's hard work, be kind and generous. Be kindly and generous towards others and seek to serve. Sow seeds of kindness and love. Live each day in grace and gratitude. And in any situation, just pause. What would Christ do here? What would Christ do here? And try to imitate him. Søren Kierkegaard, and I'm sure I've pronounced that name wrong, The Danish 19th century Christian theologian tells a story about a community of ducks, and I'm going to pass his story on here. It seems these ducks all went waddling off to duck church to hear the duck preacher preach. The duck preacher spoke eloquently of how God had given ducks wings with which to fly. And with these wings, there was nowhere the ducks could not go. With these wings, ducks could soar. And shouts of amen were quacked throughout the whole duck congregation. And at the conclusion of the service, the ducks all left, commenting as they went on their way about the inspirational message. And they all waddled back home. But they never flew. What are you? What are you? Be an imitator of Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. We're going to close with our closing hymns and another great favourite hymn of many, many people. We start with 529. We sing to God's glory, "Oh, how I love Jesus."
Jesus' name grant this our prayer. To
may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love this day and forevermore.